It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
It is autumn now, and at least around here, the weather's finally turning to cool off a bit. For a lot of people, that means it's time to get your flu shot. But by this time next year, it may not involve a shot at all. The FDA has approved the first flu vaccine that does not have to be administered by a healthcare professional, and it's not a shot. You can do it at home. It's called Flu Mist. It's a nasal spray manufactured by AstraZeneca, and it can be administered at home. CBS correspondent Alex Tenney joins us now from Washington. So tell us, Flu Mist, it's actually been around a while. What's different now?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Flu Mist was first approved by the FDA for AstraZeneca around 2 decades ago, right? You know, and for the last 2 decades, if you went to your doctor's office, you went to a pharmacy where they had Flu Mist in stock, they had the FDA's approval to essentially administer that spray up your nose or up the nose of your children. What has changed is that AstraZeneca ran a study essentially showing that adults were able to follow instructions correctly to do the spray themselves on themselves or on their kids. The FDA agreed. They gave them this approval. As you said, it's not going to be in time for this flu season, but AstraZeneca is hoping that they'll be able to get their ducks in a row and roll out this home version of their flu vaccine spray in time for next flu season.
Is this going to be over the counter? Could anyone just pick it up at your local drugstore?
Not exactly. AstraZeneca says that they're going to be selling it through an online pharmacy. You'll be able to log in, fill out a questionnaire, and essentially show that you're eligible to get this vaccine spray and then order it to your home, again, for yourself or for your kids. Part of the reason why is that there are some limitations on the kinds of people who can get this vaccine. For example, people over the age of 50 are not eligible to get this vaccine spray.
That was my next question. There are age limits on this, correct?
That's right. And there are a bunch of other limits, too. You know, if you're pregnant, if you're severely immunocompromised, you're not supposed to get this flu vaccine. Part of the reason why is that unlike some of the other flu vaccines that go into the arm, Flu Mist uses a live but weakened version of the flu virus. Now, obviously, that's safe and effective for most young, healthy adults. But, you know, if you are in that older age group or you're caring for someone who's severely immunocompromised, you should be not getting this flu vaccine.
Will there be a cost involved? I mean, because right now with the shot, I just run down to CVS or whatever and get the shot and there's no charge. Will there be a charge involved with this?
Yeah, I mean, what experts are saying right now is they think, no, you know, there is a federal law that requires health insurers to cover preventive vaccines. That includes flu vaccines, and Flu Mist would fall into that category. Now, obviously, there are some details that need to still be worked out, the main one being who's going to pay for that shipping and handling to ship this vaccine from AstraZeneca over to your home address. But the bottom line is it's looking right now like Flu Mist is going to be covered next year the same way it's covered this year, which is no out-of-pocket cost for anyone with insurance.
So we're looking at next year for this rollout, right?
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, again, AstraZeneca hasn't given all the details yet. Their exact wording was as soon as next flu season. So we'll see as it gets close to next year whether they'll hit that mark.
Fingers crossed. Alex, thanks so much. We appreciate the time. That's CBS correspondent Alex Tend with us here on KRLD. Insider Bobby Belt from 105.3 The Fan. He joins us live in studio right now. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning.
That was not pretty.
No, that was bad. But I mean, part of the issue here is it was bad as you maybe expected it would be, given the way the run defenses looked. I think the biggest issue with this is how unsurprising it was, in that they were just wholly unprepared to do anything to stop what the Ravens wanted to do on offense, particularly running the ball. And I mean, they had a stretch in this game in the third quarter, Baltimore did, where they ran the ball 12 times in a row. They ran it 12 times in a row for 112 yards. And I mean, that's just, that will get you beat every single time in the NFL. You can't just be bleeding in the run game.
Yeah, and that's what Mike McCarthy talked about this. He was like, when it's on film, you know, it's out there for everyone to see. So you expected them to do something. Mike Zimmer have some kind of answer for it, but there was nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, some of this feels like it's probably schematic with what Zimmer wants to do. But a lot of this is also, you know, Mike Zimmer's scheme can have Mozzie Smith in the right gap to make a play on the run, and it's not going to matter if Baltimore's able to just move Mozzie Smith as soon as the ball is snapped. If he's not going to provide any resistance, then, I mean, there's only so much that a scheme can cover. I think that there's definitely things that need to be tweaked and adjusted within the defense in terms of the way they're attacking things schematically, but there's a ton of issues with personnel right now that I don't know that there's an easy fix for.
So the adage is, the old adage, the game is won and lost in the trenches. And, I mean, it's really true. And the Cowboys, they not only can't stop the run, they can't run it themselves.
No.
It's the big boys up front, offense and defense.
They're having trouble running the ball efficiently, and obviously the volume attempts aren't there because they're falling down big in these games. And so they're not able to try to, you know, take advantage of the run game or establish the run game when you're down 14-3 pretty quick. And so that's an issue right there, is just getting the opportunity to establish the run game. But even when they've gotten the opportunity to do it, it's not very efficient. And then you mentioned the trenches. The pass blocking has just been really brutal the last couple weeks. Tyler Guyton had a lot of problems yesterday. Cooper Beebe had a lot of problems yesterday. That's, you know, your two rookies on the offensive line there. And I think you're seeing it play out in a way that Dak is showing a little more timidity in the way that he's approaching the offense. Like, he's trying to get quicker throws and shorter stuff, and they're not able to just kind of drop back and wing it the way they had a lot last year because the protection's just not there.
I saw a lot of frustration on the Cowboys players on the sidelines, and that's something you don't like to see. What do you make of CeeDee Lamb getting kind of upset and then Micah getting upset? Is this just, they're just frustrated, no big deal, or is there something more?
Yeah, I tend to, I know there's two different schools of thought on this. Mine is generally, I don't have a problem when, you know, you're getting beat down if you're expressing frustration on the sideline in your discussions about trying to make it better. I've had more issues in the past with when CD last year against the 49ers, when things went poorly, he got angry and just kind of isolated himself on the sideline and removed himself from the team. That's a bigger problem to me than trying to hash things out or communicate. And Dak has told him that. Dak's told us in the media before that he's had these discussions with CD where he says, if you're frustrated or you're upset or there's something bugging you, like, let's not worry about the optics of what the cameras see. Just, like, hash it out with me because we need to do that. And so I think both of those instances yesterday were just issues of guys frustrated about the result and trying to find an answer.
And now we got the Giants coming up Thursday. This is the one that we looked, we've all looked at on the schedule and said, well, they'll win that one.
Easy.
What if they don't?
they might not. The line has already moved in Vegas, I think, from 6.5 to 4.5 this morning. So a lot of people are pushing money on the Giants. But look, I think Dallas is objectively better than New York. They're a more talented team than New York. But there may be some stuff that New York is going to say, well, we can take advantage of this if these other teams did. And we can, you know, really press them on this issue and have some success. And if they lose that game to the Giants and there's a 10-day layoff leading into 3-0 Pittsburgh and, you know, defending NFC North champs, the Detroit Lions, in the 2 weeks after that before the bye, you could very reasonably be staring at 1-5 into the bye week. And if that happens, now we're talking about people might get fired.
Heads rolling.
Yep. All right, Bobby, appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming down. Our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belts from 105.3 The Fan, with us here on KRLD.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An appeals court panel is giving lawyers for the city of Dallas and the State Fair of Texas until noon tomorrow to file papers in the new gun ban at this year's fair. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is appealing a Dallas County judge's refusal to block the ban from taking effect when the fair begins on Friday. Now, the State Fair announced that the rule will be put in place after a shooting last year left 3 wounded. Paxton claims neither the fair nor the city have the authority to prohibit people from lawfully carrying guns at the fair.
Mesquite substitute teacher pleads guilty. She wanted her kids to take part in a fist fight.
This is the sound of an actual fist fight in a Kimbrough Middle School classroom, April 12, 2023. It did not break out spontaneously. It was encouraged by substitute teacher Natalie Garcia, who was heard saying, "I do not want this on record."
I do not want this on record.
She posted a student lookout at a classroom door, then let the two kids go at it. Garcia has pleaded guilty to the state jail felony of endangering children under age 15. She was put on 2 years probation, meaning she will not go to jail, and she will lose her teaching license. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A police chase ends in Mansfield with bullet holes in patrol cars and a suspect dead.
The Johnson County Sheriff's Office says deputies began following a driver who'd been reportedly driving the wrong way on a one-way road. While initially pulling over, the driver flashed a gun and took off, leading police on a high-speed chase from the Burleson area into Mansfield and Tarrant County. During the chase, the driver fired multiple shots at officers and deputies, hitting several units. They returned fire but didn't hit the suspect. The driver finally stopped near Texas 360 and Broad Street when he rear-ended another vehicle. When deputies approached, they found the suspect dead. He had died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The man's name has not yet been released. No officers or deputies were hurt during the incident. From the 24-hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
4:33, a poll shows Colin Allred might be closing in on Senator Ted Cruz in the election. The Texas Hispanic Policy Foundation says Cruz has a 3-point lead now. That's down from 5 points 6 months ago. The former president leads the vice president by 6 points in Texas, but even his lead is down from 12 points over the president in April. The group says Trump supporters should consider the economy the most important issue. Harris supporters say the most important issue, the future of our democracy.
Well, authorities are now still searching for the suspect who opened fire on a crowd in Alabama over the weekend, killing 4 people and injuring 17 more.
There is a $100,000 reward for the suspects here. Officials saying that they're looking for multiple suspects who jumped out of their vehicle, opened fire on a crowd that was here right outside a hookah lounge in Birmingham, Alabama.
That is CBS's Christian Benavides, who is there. Police have described the shooting as a targeted hit by multiple shooters. Now, after seeing a spike in homicides during the pandemic, the number of violent crimes in the U.S. has actually dropped off for the second year in a row. Data released by the FBI reveals the U.S. saw 364 violent crimes per 100,000 people in 2023, which is down 377 per 100,000 the year before, a 3% drop. Now, the FBI also says this news comes after the country experienced a record 30% rise in violent crimes back in 2020. And what's more is that the largest city in the U.S. saw the biggest drop in violent crimes per the Bureau. Communities with at least 1 million residents saw a decrease of nearly 7%.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick. In the Middle East, tensions continue to rise because of the violence ongoing there between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. The BBC's Lena Jim Jack.
There are people who are fleeing to other cities and some are arriving in Beirut. This whole country is now on alert and on emergency, fearing for more escalation to come.
New FBI statistics show violent crime continues its downward trend from the spike of the pandemic. California's attorney general has filed suit against ExxonMobil for promoting plastic when it knew it likely would not be recycled. Correspondent Ben Tracy.
A lot of us diligently separate out our plastic, but a lot of the single-use plastic, those things are almost never recycled. They basically get burned or they're buried in landfills or they end up as pollution in the environment.
The Dow finished up more than 60 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
A spending bill that would avoid a partial government shutdown could go to a House vote in the next 48 hours. The bipartisan deal was unveiled by House Speaker Mike Johnson over the weekend and will keep the government funded through December 20th. Could see a vote as early as Wednesday. Senate leader Chuck Schumer accused congressional Republicans of dragging their feet, telling reporters this same agreement could have been done 2 weeks ago. September 30th is the deadline to fund the government before the end of the current fiscal year.
The president's going to address the UN General Assembly tomorrow.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden is ready to do what he's already been successful with during his presidency.
If you think about reinvigorating and strengthening NATO, that's something that this president did with his leadership, forged historic partnerships in Indo-Pacific, built a global coalition in support of Ukraine.
She says he looks forward to building on that progress this week.
The president will deliver an address outlining his vision for how the world should come together.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
It is now 4:36 now, with nearly 1,700 shootings on record so far this year in Chicago. An alert system that tracks gunfire in real time has been shut down. Mayor Brandon Johnson moved to end the shot spotter system, saying it was a costly contract that has proven ineffective. But Alderman Ray Lopez told News Nation's Marky Martin why he and other members of the city council disagree.
This is a detection technology, kind of like a smoke detector. And we wouldn't throw out all of our smoke detectors simply because our house didn't burn to the ground. We're just happy when it goes off if something should happen. And that's exactly how this technology works.
Lopez says it's not realistic to expect the number of shootings to decrease without a plan to replace ShotSpotter immediately.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.